And then before we're going to start sharing, I just want to ask three girls and three guys in groups of three just to share three things with one another. Three things that you're looking for in your future spouse. The three most important things you're looking for in your future spouse. If you're new and you don't know many people, just stick to the person that you know, even if it's not of the same gender. But if you feel comfortable sharing with guys, you can also do it, guys and girls. So preferably stick to girls, then you can share your hearts and the guys. So just make groups of three or four. Just share a few things that you're looking for in your future spouse, and then we'll continue. Okay, we'll give you a few minutes.
We were thinking of doing sort of the same icebreaker we did with the marriage last night. We said, now turn to your partner and kiss for 10 seconds. So we were thinking, do like New Year's evening thing, kiss the closest person to you 10 seconds. But then we thought, maybe not. Okay, maybe not. You will have to wait for that. Okay. Let's continue. We're going to start off. We're going to start off by just sharing a bit. I do want to share a message of hope in a sense. But before, yeah, you can put on the picture there. Love. Love can be quite volatile. Anybody agree? Okay, who is in a relationship, like a dating relationship? Okay, we have a few, but not many. Okay, so there already, people, there's hope. Okay, you have seen, and there is hope. Okay, so I want to share with you a little bit about the dating process, which is speaking about dating dilemmas, speaking about relationship rescue. So on the one hand, for those who are on a relationship, we want to help you, give you direction. Those who are not yet, we want to save you some pain if possible, and really encourage you. So I found, even my wife and I, we dated for about 2.5 years before we got married. We got married when I was 23, she was 24. Always wanted a mature woman, you know, so. So anyway, love is quite volatile, and I have found that the dating process can be quite a challenge. I've also, you know, for those, if you become a Christian, you speak about BC, before your, before Christ, and your after Christ experience, and normally you'll say, well, after Christ is much better than before Christ. Okay, would you agree? Okay, you would agree. Okay, now, it's very much the same with marriage. You have before marriage, and then you have after marriage. And I have found that the dating process and the, and it's, you know, you spend so much energy. It really is such a challenge, that process. But when you actually marry the right person and it's working, it's beautiful. I said it's heaven on earth. It really is phenomenal. It really is so special. But I found that, when I was 19 years old, I was a Christian for about a year. And so I went to a 21st. Sonica's 21st. And we weren't dating. I sort of just knew her a little bit. And so on the way back, we were in Cape Town. We're driving back to Stellenbosch. We're studying, students at Stellenbosch. As we're driving back to Stellenbosch, and there was three guys, me and two older guys. Yeah, they were 2 years, 3 years older. And so we're driving back, and we're chatting, you know, chatting with girls, you know, we're talking about, oh, we need to find the one, you know. And I could pick up, you know, we were frustrated. They were like 21, 22, and they really frustrated, you know. I'm like really getting old now. I was 19. I was like saying, enough is enough, you know. I can't take this anymore. I need to get the one. Patience has never been my strong point. But so anyway, so we're driving back to Stellenbosch. Now we parked outside one of the guys' residences. For those who know, we were Stellenbosch, Halswichte, parked out there. And we parked there. And so we said, okay, guys, we're going to pray now. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God who is the one. And then we're going to share with one another. So, we prayed. We prayed a really short, quick prayer. It's like, God, we want to know who is the one. Tell us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Who? And so we were going around, and the one guy said, no, he thinks this girl. And we cracked up laughing, like, in your wildest dreams, brother. I mean, this is like the girl in church, you know, it's like, no ways. So we came to the next guy, and he said, one of these four. And he sort of mentioned them. Prettiest girls in church, you know, and he went through them. In the end, he didn't marry any one of them. He married another girl. Came to me, and I said, I don't know, but I think Sonica. And they laughed at me. She's too old for you. She's not going to go for you, whatever. But a few years later, we actually, God brought us together, and it's really been amazing. But I'm going to share some of our story, a little bit of our story. And, but looking back for us, when you start off, you don't actually see the whole picture, but now looking back 12, 13 years later, I can say this is like, God has knitted us together perfectly. It's like my weaknesses are her strengths. And so we sort of cover one another. We're a team. We're together pastoring the church in East London. She's the worship pastor, and she preaches and teaches, and she keeps me from messing up badly, and keeps me on the right path. And it's been amazing, you know. So when you get the one, it really is so special. So anyway, so we want to share a little bit of our story. I got my little heart here, Willie's heart. And this basically, on Sunday I shared about that the heart is the seat or the center of our relationships. Everything flows from our hearts. Everything flows forth from our hearts. It truly is the center. And the state of your heart will determine the state of your relationships. You can often look at the two. How's the relationships? How's my heart? They're connected, they're interlinked, interconnected. And the state of your heart will determine the path you choose in your relationships, in your life. I want to focus on that in this session. It's critical to keep your heart in good state. Because what happens is that this, the red is the good heart. Soft, full of joy, peace, good times. And then when, you know, we find ourselves disappointed within relationships or in life or with things that happens, then we find our hearts becoming black or hard, cynical, critical men, you know. You know, they're like, oh, they're all the same. You know, or girls, women, you know, they're like this and this and this. And so sometimes we start speaking from this position, from a hard heart, a disappointed heart, and it actually affects our future relationships. It can actually determine if you're going to meet the right one and be able to connect with the right one. If your heart's in the good space, you are yourself. When your heart's not in a good space, you're not who God has destined you to be, designed you to be. You actually can miss out on the fullness of life. So, where is the kingdom of God? Do you know? Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. So my question is to you, how's it going with the kingdom? How's it going with the kingdom? Because the Bible says the kingdom of God is not an eating nor drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How's your kingdom doing? Righteousness meaning, am I in good state with God? Do I have peace? Do I have joy? Joy, not joy, not peace, then it's like the black. If it's peaceful and joyful, you're in good space with God, man, then it's good times. Then you can be truly whom God has destined you to be. So how's it going with the kingdom? But I often see, as pastors, we often see minister counsel to people, and I see so often people's hearts going black, and I find just relational destruction everywhere. I have found that one of the biggest schemes the enemy brings against Christians is wrong relationships, messed up relationships, leading them away from God.
Okay, so we want to encourage you. But I often see that people actually lose direction when their heart goes black. They actually lose direction. They go off track and they move away from God. So anyway, with me and Sonic, a few years after that time in front of the hostel, and we
became good friends. About 2 years later, I'm not sure. I really felt that she is the one. I said to my flatmate, roommate, she's the one. I know it. I know it in my twinner, man. I feel it. And so I was going to a dance with her at her residence. And so we were sitting there and having a good time and just chatting and sharing. And at some stage she says, it's so wonderful to be with you. Yeah, you're like, it's so wonderful to be at this dance with you, because I know, and she didn't say it like this, but this is how I heard it. You know, because you're such a safe person to be with, you know, you're not gonna like make a move, you know, we're just friends. Yes, I'm like upset, you know, I'm like, I can't take this anymore, you know, that roller coaster ride of emotions, is it me, you know, is it not? And then she does the we are just good friends. So anyway, so I decided enough is enough. I told her, Sonica, let's could we go outside? I want to pray for you. So we went outside. So we went outside and I sort of put my hands on her shoulders or so. Laid hands. I'm saying, this one I'm giving back to Jesus. It's like claw. So I prayed for her. I blessed her future husband. I blessed everything. I just said, but Lord, I give it to you. Bless her, bless her, bless her. But in my heart, like, it's claw. I can't take this up and down stuff. So I said in my heart, Lord, for the next 10 years, I don't want any woman in my life. It's just you and me, Jesus. Come on. Lasted about 6 months. And then God actually powerfully spoke to me and revealed to that she is the one. And then we sort of, I'm going to go into all the details, but then we sort of got together. We started dating 2.5 years later. We got married and it's really been good ever since. So I'm going to share a few things with you concerning, but the heart is key. What happened in that situation was I was basically saying, okay, God, I'm putting my trust in you. You're a good God. You have a good plan for my life. I know that I'm not going to miss the one, because you will speak to me. You will lead me. It will work at some stage. I just know that you are good. That's how I said, okay, God, giving it to you. And I'm going. I'm going for you all the way. And God was, he supernaturally just brought us together. But I found that so often in relationships, we battle to believe that God is truly, truly, truly good for me. That a good God will do a good work in my life. It will work out. Belief, trust. That's the key. That's the heart of it. So your heart towards God, your heart will determine the path you choose for plan. Will you go for plan A? Will you go for plan B? Will you just settle for the whosoever? And so I shared on Sunday that we don't fall out of love. Speaking about love and staying in love, we don't actually fall out of love, we fall out of repentance. What's repentance? Repentance is, you know, you were in love, the passion was flowing, it's emotional, oh, she's the best, no, he's the best, and then something happens and, oh, you know, heart goes black and, oh, you know, there's no more love, it's not working anymore. Repentance is, God forgive me, Father forgive her. And your heart turns red again. Walls are gone. Love flows. It's working. So that's what you want. Repentance is the key. A soft heart is the key for healthy relationships. And so what sometimes happens is when our hearts go black, we start to be out of character. You're not who God has destined you to be. So now guys, you know, you've been wounded in a few relationships. Now you're like, ooh, you know, like, now you really become insecure. You really become negative, you know. So now you meet a great girl and you're trying to be yourself and you're like, freak it. You know, you can't be yourself. You're out of character. You're not your joyful, happy, smiley self. You're not the man that God has destined you to be because of the heart that's maybe not in good space. And so I see it with people so often that they sort of lose who they really are. And it actually becomes a block in meeting the one. Our hearts get wounded and hard, and then we start to act out of character. So God wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your heart this evening. Even if you have had disappointments in relationships, He wants to heal your heart. Okay, so hope. I want to share a bit about hope. When you lose your hope, you lose your way. When you lose your hope, then you lose your way. And you will go astray. That's what I want to share with you. This is the, if you remember nothing else, if you lose your hope, you will lose your way. And if you lose your hope, you will go astray. And so we see it in people's lives so often that they lose their hope in for relationships. They lose their hope for meeting a godly man or a godly woman. They lose their hope and they actually settle for plan B or C or D. Proverbs 13:12 speaks about hope. But hope is an anchor to our souls. That's what the scripture speaks about as well. Hope is an anchor to our souls. If you have hope, then you can stand. If you lose your hope, your boat starts drifting. Your anchor is gone and anything can send you off track. So this verse in Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When your hope's not fulfilled, makes the heart sick. But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. The Message translation says, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. But if you lose your hope, your heart becomes sick and you can lose your way. So when you keep on hoping for something's not coming to pass, yeah, or you're in a relationship and you have these hopes for this relationship and you hope for romantic, you hope for special, you hope for all these things, it's not happening, then it can affect your heart. You can lose your hope, can make your heart sick. And we see that so often with people. But when that desire is fulfilled, when that sudden good break comes, it's like, yes, she's the one, he's the one, this is of God, this is beautiful, this is special, this is amazing. It's an incredible high. And then Proverbs 13:14 says, which two verses on in the Message, it says, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. So I'm trusting this evening is going to be like a fountain of life to your heart, encouraging you, blessing you, a fountain of life. So no more drinking from death-tainted wells. You see, while you are waiting for that day, or you're in a relationship that's not quite what you hope for, you're hoping and trusting it's going to become your dream relationship. How do you sustain yourself? The Word of God, the promises of God, the hope that God puts in our hearts, that He's a good God. Let's say that God is a good God. Let's say He's always good. And He's always in a good mood. And I just think that's profound. When you actually start believing it, He's a loving Father who's in a good mood. He's got a good plan for your life. You know, but when things go wrong, we start doubting it. Start thinking, oh, what's wrong with me? Nothing wrong with you. Just sometimes our faith is tested. What is hope? Hope is an overall optimistic attitude because of the goodness of God. Hope is an overall optimistic attitude because of the goodness of God. Hope is more general. Faith is more specific. It's like, I got my word, I knew Sonic is my wife. I had faith. I believed. Man, I had to fight for this woman. She was feisty. But I had faith. But hope is different. Hope is knowing that good is coming. Hope is knowing that this week, the goodness of God is going to manifest in my life. Hope believes I have loads of options. Man, I don't have just one guy. I don't have just one option. Man, I've got 10 possible decisions to make here. I'm not desperate. Because if you're desperate, you just take anyone. And so you have good, many good options. You've got loads of good options. In our situation, Sonika had a word about a month before we met one another. She received a word from the Lord. This doesn't work with everybody like this. This is just how it worked with us. But she received a word that seven guys would come to her. She got that word in 1 Samuel where there's seven brothers. There's the prophet Samuel and the seven brothers would come past. It's not them, it's number eight. She didn't tell anybody this. The number eight is David, the one that should be anointed. So what happened with us was seven guys came past. She batted them all. Because she was waiting for Mr. Perfect, which wasn't me. But it was amazing. She just knew this isn't the one. I'm not desperate. This isn't the one. I'm not desperate. This isn't the one. I'm not desperate. This is the one. And it was the will of God. And I'm not saying it works like that for everybody. In our case, it did. But I want to make the point is if you lose your hope, you get desperate and you choose whosoever. Don't be too desperate. You see, there are no hopeless circumstances. No hopeless circumstances, just hopeless people. But we have an amazing God of hope that gives us hope even in challenging circumstances. Okay, there are no hopeless circumstances, just hopeless people. I heard this guy said this, that if there's any area in your life that you do not have glistening hope, that means you're believing a lie. And that lie becomes a stronghold of the devil. If there's any area in your life that you don't have glistening hope, not just a little bit, glistening hope, you're believing a lie, and that lie will become a stronghold of the devil. So any area in your life, there's not glistening hope. Are there, in your relational area, do you have glistening hope? If you don't have radiating, glistening hope, you're probably believing a lie. And that lie will become a stronghold for the enemy in your life. And so you need to address those lies. You see, the enemy comes to us and he says, when we have disappointments in relationships, when we've been through divorce, if we've been through challenging circumstances, then he comes, tells us stuff. You're just not good enough. You know, these lies come and we actually embrace it. We believe it. And that lie becomes a stronghold in our thinking and it defines how we perceive ourselves. And it actually disconnects us from the will and the goodness of God. You see, it's impossible to please God without faith. So when you have hope, it lays a foundation upon which you can build faith and love. But if you don't have hope, the whole thing falls apart. So you need hope. How do you get hope? Address the lies. Renounce the lies. Do not receive the lies. So hope. Without hope, you will find yourself moving out of the will of God. So I want to touch on this losing your way, also known as lawlessness. Lord, I touched on Sunday. But when you lose your hope, you lose your way. When you lose your hope, you will go astray. So there's the good path, the God path, that awesome path with blessings of God is just upon us. You know, David, he declared in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He just knew it. It's going to follow me. I must just be in the will of God. It's going to follow me. It's going to hunt me down. Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded that the goodness of God is hunting for you? It just wants to overtake you. It wants to blow your mind away. What are you speaking in your mouth? I do this almost every day. I say, I'm expecting the goodness of God to manifest today. What do you normally do? Oh, I wonder what's going to go wrong today. That expectation of something's going to go wrong. Man, it's Joburg. Things always go wrong in Joburg. Rubbish. You're a child of God. Surely the goodness of God and the mercy of God will follow you all the days of your life. So you can declare, this week, the goodness of God is going to hunt me down. I'm expecting. I've found this in my own heart. I was like, oh, it's going well, but man, something's going to go wrong. Because something always goes wrong sometime. That's such a lie. Goodness and mercy. So lawlessness. Often, you know, often people are in relationships, or not even in a relationship, but relationships are just not working out. It's like they become squirrely. The little squirrel you need to shoot. You know, it's just something's not working in my relationships, and you can't figure out why. I believe many times because we move out of that good space where God is wanting us to be planted. And in the process, you know, we don't understand why things are going wrong, and it affects our thinking, we lose hope, and then it leads us astray. So Matthew 24:12 says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." So we live in a society, Jesus speaking here, and he said in the last days there will be lawlessness, lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. It's like relational chaos. Are we seeing it in society? Relational chaos? Absolutely. We're seeing divorce upon divorce upon divorce, pain upon pain. Many people aren't even just, they're marrying anymore because, I mean, what's the point? It's not going to work in any case. That's how I feel. But this relational chaos, and I shared this on Sunday, but God has laid down eternal laws. Eternal laws. You know, when he created everything, the physical realm, the spiritual realm, the relational realm, he designed it all with specific laws. For instance, the law of gravity. That's a physical law. God designed it. He said that's how it works. So a law of life is if you go up to an 8-story, 10-story of a building, you jump off, how will life be? Short and flat. Okay, pain. So you're breaking that law. You know, if you want to live, do not jump off a 10-story building. It's just a law of life. For instance, water as well. You know, don't drink water for a week. You will die. You're breaking the law of life. Without water, life cannot exist. So that's a natural, physical law. But God's also made other laws like relational laws. Like sex is reserved for marriage. Yeah, that's just like church people. We make a romantic atmosphere, and then we tell you you're not allowed to. But if you break this eternal law, there are consequences. I want to actually just quickly read a new study that they did concerning casual sex and the effect on people's lives. It says, in colleges and universities, one-night stands are quite common. Events and shows organized at compounds of these institutions of higher learning can never miss a morning decor of condoms and sanitary pads littered at every crevice in the corridors. While a new survey, the largest study of its kind involving 3,900 heterosexual students, 11% who said they had engaged in casual sex in the past month, suggests that premarital sex offers momentary satisfaction and afterwards has the potential of sinking a young person into a mental abyss. The experts involved found that young people who have casual sex are more likely to suffer from depression and anxiety. Higher levels of anxiety and depression among students who had recently had sex with someone they knew for less than a week were exhibited strongly by subjects. Lead author of the study from California State University told the Daily Mail that for both men and women in this group, stress, anxiety, and depression were experienced as a result of their sexual encounters. This is a non-Christian study. They found that casual sex actually leads to depression, anxiety, and I see it. I see it with the people we counsel. We see the effects of it, and that just proves there's an eternal law that if you break it, you will experience pain. Amazing thing with me and my wife Sonica, we were engaged for how long? Well, 7 months. But we had the wedding planned even before that, and so we struggled physically. We didn't have sex, but we overstepped some boundaries. And so, you know, it's like after 9 months, okay, come on, we repent, God forgive us. Now we're going to stand for the next 9 months. No messing around. Come on, woman, keep your hands off me. Okay. She wasn't the problem. Okay. I was more the problem. And so after 8 months, same thing, 3 months, 2 months, you know, it was a terrible time, actually. You know, it was like, you know, it brought a disconnect almost between us and God because we sort of battled in this area. And so actually, I was afraid. I was thinking, well, every time I kiss this woman, I really feel bad. You know, I feel like really disconnect between me and God. There's no intimacy. I feel condemned and down. And I was worried. Man, am I just so, is this going to be like wedding day as well? Kiss the girl, honeymoon, oh, grit. You know, still feel condemned and still I'm thinking, man, I'm just so religious. Get over it, you know? And it was amazing. On our wedding day, something supernatural happened when the pastor said, you may now kiss the bride off. He said, you are husband and wife. When he said, you may now kiss the bride. When I kissed her, it was completely different. There was something amazing happened. It was like a miracle on the inside happened where God knitted our hearts together, our spirit together, and it's like the stamp of approval from God saying, you're good to go. And it was amazing. Honeymoon night. It was worship. It was like God was there. Every other time we overstepped the boundaries, it was like God wasn't there, you know? This isn't working. But here it's like God was from heaven, was smiling down upon us saying, this is beautiful. I designed it. It's awesome. You're good to go. But it was amazing for me to experience the change in my heart and in my life. There really is a spiritual law. Something happens when it said, you and our husband, I present to you husband and wife, Mr. and Mrs. Kruger. It's beautiful. And I have found that people in your state of singleness and dating, it's a state. I promise it's a state. You tend not to listen. Most of the people I meet, they sit in these situations, think, yes, that's wonderful, I'm going to do that. And you meet the one, you fall in love, you go blind, silly and stupid, and you do just what you want to do. You didn't listen. Please listen. Can I ask you to say that? I will listen. Yes! Okay, Heinrich, you saw that, eh? You saw that, you heard them. They will... They will listen. It's amazing. You know, when we fall in love, we don't listen to anyone. Okay. But so the first one there was physical laws. Second one, relational laws, like sex is reserved for marriage. And thirdly, there's a spiritual law. And this actually comes out of loads of counseling with people at our church. The spiritual law is, you shall have no other gods beside me. But before I do, I want to sort of give you an example. Okay, a guy and a girl to quickly come and stand here. I'm not going to make a fool of you, don't worry. Just simple presentation, guy and a girl. Come on. Girl, great. Please stand over there. A guy, he's coming. Good, you stand over there. You are Jesus. You are girl. I'm guy, okay? For in this situation, I'm going to say, right, Jesus, I want to follow you. You are my God. And if you walk somewhere, I'm going to follow you. Just quickly walk that way. I'm following, yes. Okay, good, come back. Now, imagine me, I am dating someone, even not dating, but I'm obsessed with somebody. The girl. And she becomes my God. Who am I going to follow? Jesus walk? Do you see that? It says, you shall have no other gods beside me. Thank you. Give them a hand. That's wonderful. So, I've seen, and this has been such an eye-opener for me, I've found that because we desire that one so much, it actually becomes our God. We become obsessed, and we actually find ourselves going off track. As I said, I found often great damage happens when that happens. Jesus, you shall have no other gods besides me. Why? Because you can't follow me. You won't follow me. And so then in a sense, deception creeps in. I've seen this You know, do you believe there's evil in this world? We see it everywhere. There's evil. Now, evil wants to do one thing, wants to destroy you. But not just destroy you. It's like this. You come to the 10-story building. You're on the 10th floor. You're standing there. Do you know what evil pleasures in? Not to push you over. To whisper in your ear and say, jump. You jump. That's deception. And that happens when somebody else becomes your God. I can tell you some scary stories of what has happened to some people in our congregation. What they become obsessed with having a person. And then they go off track. And is destructive. So there's the spiritual law. Jesus needs to be your number one. Do not be obsessed with having someone in your life. Okay. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So sick hearts. Just quickly, if your heart is black, just a few signs of a sick heart. When you lose your hope and you know, you go astray. So, and then how to get anchored again. The first one is your relationships aren't working so great, so you can start blaming others. In other words, it's not you. Blaming others, that's where I was shared on Sunday. It happened to me. I was so blind to my own issues, my own faults. I was always blaming other people. Blaming other people. So don't do that. It's the myth of blame. And it sort of becomes our filter through which we look at life. It's always somebody else. It's never me. So I want to encourage you to actually speak to your friends. Ask them, do you think I am doing something wrong if it's not working out? Ask somebody that you trust. You know? They said a real friend stabs you in the front. And sometimes we as friends need to have the guts to tell our friends, it's you. It's your fault. You know? You can actually, and it's not negative. It's wonderful. So you can change. You can deal with it. You can sort it out. That's wonderful news. It's not negative. So the remedy for this blaming others is take responsibility for failed relationships. Okay? Take responsibility for the state of your heart will determine the state of your relationships. When we don't take responsibility, we become blind to our own weaknesses and we become deceived and we go astray. So that's the first one. Don't blame others. Second one, of a sign of a sick heart, then we actually can blame ourselves in the sense of shame. You know, having made mistakes, having weaknesses is one thing, but we should not receive shame. So take responsibility, but don't receive shame. Begin to, if you know, it happens when you begin to believe those lies. It's, you know, something wrong with you, you must expose those lies, you know, that voice of it's your fault. But like condemnation, like negative, like shame, like you lose your hope. If you lose your hope, it's not God. When God speaks, you will have hope. So you can test it like that. If you hear anything in your heart, in your mind, it condemns you, it shames you, it's not God. Whenever God speaks, it's liberty, it's freedom. So confront those lies and realize, you know, that your identity is found in God, not in having a partner. Your identity is found in God, not having a partner. I found one thing that I've seen amongst people that have not been married is that they, you know, it's like you're on the other side of the divide, of the line. But when you step over and you get married, and you actually marry a wonderful woman or a wonderful guy and it's wonderful, then you actually realize it's awesome, but it's not everything. It's wonderful, but my relationship with Jesus and my identity in Him, that is everything. And everything flows out of that place. But when I find my identity in my partner, I become vulnerable. I become vulnerable and you can actually have a negative effect on the relationship. Okay, so take the negative focus off yourself. Put it on God. Just, God, I want to live for you. I trust in you. You will take care of everything. Do you know, who think you can control somebody? Can you force somebody to love you? No, you can't. You can't. So why do we put so much pressure on ourselves to try and make something happen? Rather put your faith in God, who is able to very naturally and sometimes supernaturally cause a woman and a man to fall in love, really connect and have a beautiful marriage. Put your faith in God. put your faith in God. Don't put all that pressure upon yourself. I've just found that God is God of relationships. And then thirdly, another area where our hearts can become sick is giving up. When you give up, you no longer follow God's plan. You're desperate for the anyone. You lower your standards. I've seen with people, they come to a point, they say, stuff it. I've tried God's way, and I'm going my way. I've been like a virgin now for like 50 years. And what do I get for that? Stuff it. Let's go for it. There's a guy in our church that, lovely guy, beautiful guy. And he loves God. He's a great guy. And he became impatient. He's like 32, I think, and his parents, everybody was putting pressure. When you get a girl, when you get married. And so he sort of just went for the next option that appeared. And they had sex. And he came to me, he was a virgin until 32. And then he came to me to come and see me. And he sat there in our lounge, weeping like a baby. And I asked him, was it good? It sucks. He stuffed it all away because he became impatient and he didn't want to put his trust in God. And that same guy, now a year later, met a lovely girl and they got married. But it was absolutely traumatic. Even for both of these, of them on their wedding day, tears were, they both have made mistakes. Don't be impatient. Trust in God. Trust in God. There's an incredible reward when you trust in God. Put your trust in Him. He will bless you. He will reward you. He will shower you with His goodness if you trust in Him at all times. Just trust. God, I know you're good. I know your goodness is going to rain down upon me. I trust you. I trust you. If you lose your hope, you will lose your way. And if you lose your hope, you will go astray. Don't go astray. This is the power of knowing that expectation, that goodness is coming. So I want to end off with this last two verses. Psalm 27:13. It says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is so beautiful. I would have lost heart. My heart would have gone black. I would have lost my hope. I would have lost my way. David says, unless I had believed. Faith isn't seeing. Faith is believing in the goodness and character of God. That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What is that wait? That's waiting with expectation. Oh God, I know goodness is coming this week. God, I know tomorrow goodness is going to hunt me down. I just know it. Courage. Be of good courage. Have you fallen off the horse? Made mistakes? Gone astray? I promise you Jesus can heal and sort out everything. Everything. I've seen it. The blood of Christ washes clean every mistake. You could have slept with 20 plus people, as some people in our church has. Jesus restores and heals. And He can make you like a virgin on your wedding day. God restores everything. Do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. So faith is the deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. Read again. Faith is the deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. It's saying, God, I don't know what's going on, but I trust in you. Good is coming. You see, when you lose your hope, you go into the danger zone. Danger zone. You must tell yourself, how's my hope levels? How's my hope levels? How's my hope levels? Not good. Whoa, danger zone. Danger zone. Danger zone. Speak to somebody that you can deal with it. I'm gonna put a video on screen. And we're gonna sing along with this, it's a Hillsong's, song about hope being the anchor of our souls. So please stand with me. You can just pause it there for a moment. Before we're gonna sing it, I want us to pray. I'm gonna read Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. If we can. It says, trust God. Let's read this together. Can we put that on? Sorry. Otherwise, just pause it. It's fine. I'll just read it. And you need to get the audio on as well. I'm just reading this. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. That's beautiful. I'll read that again. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. He is good. I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you for this evening. Lord, you know our situation, each and every one of us here. God, you know our hope levels. You know where our hope levels are at. God, we thank you we can declare this evening, you are the God of hope. You're the God of hope. By your Spirit, you pour out hope into our hearts. You strengthen our hearts. You encourage us. You set us free and you set us up for blessing, for goodness, for kindness. God Almighty, right now, God, even as we're going to declare this song, God, we pray for hope levels to rise, faith levels to rise, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just declare that God, you are good. Let's say that again. God, you are good. And you are good to me. Every day of my life. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Just want to pray for you, Father. We thank you for glistening hope in every facet of our lives, but God, this evening especially in the area of relationships. God, we expose every lie that we might be believing, that's stealing, that's eating away like a cancer at our hope, glistening hope. And so Lord, right now we take authority over every lie. We expose every lie. In the name of Jesus, we declare there is hope in Christ Jesus. And so Lord, we take authority over every lie, every assignment of the enemy to break down our identities, our self-image, and our perspective for the future and about relationships. God, right now, we thank you that you'd heal hearts as your truth sets us free. You will know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so God, we declare over every life here, goodness is coming. The grace of God will be revealed. God, we declare in the name of Jesus that each and every heart will be anchored in your hope. Every heart anchored in hope, they will not go astray. They will not lose their way. They will trust. They will trust. And so God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you, Jesus Christ, will be God in their lives. No other gods. No other gods. Just as you're standing, as our eyes are closed, just take a moment. If you've become obsessed with that possible someone, just pray under your breath and say, God, I lay that down. And Jesus, I put my faith and my trust in you. Just right now, just repent. Say, God, forgive me. Right now, Jesus, you are my everything. I trust in you. I trust in you. Just pray that under your breath. Give it to the Lord. Hallelujah. And also just pray under your breath. Just renounce any lie that you've believed. Say, God, I renounce that lie that I'll never find a good man or a good woman. I renounce that lie. Just renounce it. Just under your breath, God, I renounce that. I renounce that lie. I renounce the lie that I'm not good enough. I renounce that lie. I renounce the lie that there's something wrong with me. I renounce that lie. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, just heal hearts. Restore hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak healing to hearts here. Hard hearts become soft. Bitter hearts be healed. Any poison that's been in hearts, lies that we've been believing, God, we cast that out. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now. Just anchor each and every one. Jesus, I pray. God, we pray that you, Jesus, would be the ultimate passion of every heart here. The guiding force. The one who we follow with glistening hope. Right now we release glistening hope and childlike trust for each and every one. Let's just pray this prayer. Father God, I know you love me and you have a good plan for my life. I trust you and I place you first and foremost in my heart and life in Jesus' name. And I declare your goodness will be revealed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. That was good. Yeah, the Lord has really sensed God's presence here. Just sort of a word that's been on my heart over this weekend is that God just wants us to yield our hearts to Him. Just yield, to surrender. And I saw this picture of a fountain springing up. And that's what God wants to be for each, in each of our lives. That's that fountain springing up in each of our lives.